We've been in talking about the characters of the cross for some period of time now, and those around. We're gonna wrap it up this morning. The story of the cross and really the resurrection, we've been looking at really kind of since Easter, is it can be a little bit befuddled. Y'all know what befuddled means? Yeah, it's a little bit tricky because you read in one of the gospels and you read it and you see this thing, you're like, okay, there's that. And then you look at another one of the gospels, you see that, and there's a different piece of it. And over here there's a different piece, and over here there's a different piece. And then we find some over in the book of Acts, and then we find some later on 1 Corinthians. And so there's different pieces. We've got a puzzle. And so I've been preaching primarily through the book of Matthew, but I want to, this morning, we're going to put the puzzle together, look in really all four of the Gospels in the book of Acts, and put that puzzle together, and then we're going to wrap it up with the Lord going on into heaven. With really how it ends is how we're going to, how that this story ends is really what our life is, our hope is that He's coming again. So Mark chapter 16, let's start in Mark chapter 16 this morning. So as you find your place, if you stand together with me, Mark 16. Mark chapter 16, we're going to begin in verse 1. The Bible says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Let's pray. Our Father, as we come together this morning, Lord, we're gathered here to receive something from Your Word that would encourage us, Lord, something that would exhort us. Lord, maybe we need to be convicted, corrected. Maybe we just need to be stirred. Lord, I don't know the need of each heart here this morning, but Lord, I do pray that You would help us as we look in Your Word and we see Your Spirit, Your desire, what You'd want to do with us and even with those in that day, which is the same desire You have for us. Lord, pray that You'd help us to receive Your message this morning, and we'll thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we have this account of four different people giving details of the testimony that was important to the audience that they were writing to. So we take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all had in some sense a little bit different immediate audience that they were kind of gearing it to in their time and you know, how they seen Jesus. I don't want to get into all that this morning, but they had a little bit, maybe a little bit different purpose for their writing. There's some differences. We find the synoptic gospels, we call them Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're kind of very, have a lot. And then John kind of has a lot of different areas. And so there's different ones that they were actually, in a sense, directing their message to, or the kind of spirit of what they were trying to present in Christ to different people. And so there's different purpose, different people. And of course, it's for all of us. We understand that. Thus, the chronology and the details of this account are patched throughout these four different Gospels. So what we started with here, we find, is these women heading to the tomb. And the problem that they were discussing on the way was who? Who's going to roll away the stone so they can apply the spices? Okay, I want you to understand, and we've talked about all these things we've already talked about, so we're kind of going to fly by some things, but grab something, is what they were going to do was to anoint a body, right? There wasn't embalming like we did. There was anointing the body. It was a way of showing honor. It was a way of showing some love. Can I just say this as a little side note? Let me just say this to you folks and really grab a hold of this. I wish I could say this to the whole world, but I'm going to say it to you, okay? A funeral is not, if you die, you will, and you have a funeral, it's not for you. Don't give somebody a list of everything you want done at your funeral. This is my advice, okay? I'm just giving you a little advice. Don't give a list, I want this person to sing, I want this read, and I want this, by the time it's done, it's all about you. Listen, a funeral isn't about you. A funeral is about the people that remain. It's about their opportunity to honor you. Let them do it. Let them do it. Okay, now, back to this. This is what they were doing. They were taking those spices. They wanted to come and they want to anoint the body of Jesus. They want to do something there. And so they were looking for and they were expecting to find a body to do this to. But when they arrived, the stone was already removed. Okay? You see, this is going to be the thing. And so there was going to be this situation that they're going to find when they get there that the stone is already going to be removed. But it was already removed. By the way, it was only the soldiers that actually saw that happen. Right, we talked about that already last week. The soldiers saw the angel come and remove the stone, and they were frozen in fear, and then they ran away and went to the chief priest. So the only ones that actually saw that happen was the soldiers. So at this point that we're getting to here, the angels hadn't spoken to the women yet. It was already there, and so when the tomb. With the tomb open, the stone rolled away, and no one was there, these ladies made an assumption. You ever make assumptions? You ever wrong on those? It's 50-50, isn't it? Maybe a little worse. But this is what we do. I'm not saying don't make assumptions. It's part of what we do. I'm just trying to get us in the picture a little bit here. They got there. They're thinking, how are we going to get that? I mean, we got this stuff. We got the spices, we got the things, and we're getting there. They're like, how are we going to open it? I don't know. You ever just do things without planning? I hate that. I hate it. I want to plan the beginning to the end before I get started. That's my mind. Sometimes you're just compelled to say, God is just leading me into this thing. I think this is something we got to do. And you're like, well, how is it going to finish out? I don't know. You know what we call that thing? Faith. Take a step of faith. So how are you going to do all that? You got other things. How are you going to do it? I don't know. We're going to go. And they say, we're going to do this. This is what we're going to honor the Lord. We're going to go. And they're going. And they say, and then by the way, as they're on the way, how are we going to get that? I don't know. There's a bunch of women. By the way, it was able to be opened. So that was something that they obviously could do. But how that was going to get done, they had no idea. So they get there. As they walk up, it's already open. So they made the assumption that someone had come and stole the body of Jesus. Right? That's their assumption. So what do? They run back to tell Peter and John this terrible news. That somebody had stole the body of Jesus. Now listen. Turn with me. Now, keep your place here. You've got one of these strings or a bookmark. Keep your place here. We're going to come back to Mark. Turn over to the book of John, chapter 20. We're going to pick them up here when they came and it was open and they believed somebody had stole the body. And so they ran back. They said, we got to go tell. They didn't do anything with it. They just got there. They seen it open. And they go back and tell John. Tell Peter and John. Chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. So, now what you see, John just mentions Mary Magdalene. She's probably the one speaking. But it was that group, okay? You see this group of, we're going to see this group of ladies, and they're going to sometimes split, but this is the kind of deal. So they come back and said they, probably thinking about either the Romans or the Jews that had crucified the Lord, they've taken his body. Sometimes we make a fuss about the wrong things. You know what I'm saying? You ever catch yourself in that midst of that? You're really making a big deal about something, and somebody has to come along and say, "Hey, it's just, you know, really they're worried about the body, the container, right?" You can understand their situation. They come, they see the body's gone. They think somebody stole them. So they're trying to find the body. It's kind of weird. They're trying to find the body, right? Y'all get the picture here? And so then what happens is Peter and John, they hear this. What do they want to do? They say, "Wow, that's too bad." And they just, no. You know what they want to do? This is what guys want to do. You tell a guy there's a problem. What does he got to do? Well, fix it, but he has to go see for himself. Right? He's got to go see it. Well, and then he'll try to fix it. I want to put the word try. Sometimes make it worse. But they want to go find it. So Peter and John decide they got to go check it out. Look at verse 3 now. We're still in John chapter 20. Verse 3. Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. I talk about this a lot. This is funny. John's right. I just want to let y'all know. It's not there just for pride. Okay. And that other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Peter. Just wanted to let you know, Peter following him. He was behind. And went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which first came to the sepulchre. Three times he kind of... And he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Okay, so we see this picture. I really think it's funny to us, kind of the way the picture. I think it's just trying to give us the picture. So John is first. He gets there. He gets to the sepulcher. He looks in. Sees the stuff. By the way, I don't think the ladies even looked in yet. I don't believe they did. I think they seen it, like made an assumption, ran. John gets in, looks in. Peter's like, "I'm going right in," because that's the kind of character Peter had. He just went right in. And he said, because I got there first, because then I went in after him. And he went in. So we kind of see that picture. And it says here, it's an interesting thing. It says in verse 9, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." So, they didn't have any idea that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, because he had never, ever, ever spoken about that, right? Now, we know that's not true, right? When it says they knew not, it doesn't mean that Jesus hadn't told them, because Jesus told them over and over and over again. But rather, that they weren't thinking about it. It hadn't put it together yet. They were expecting. I said we make assumptions, we also make expectations. They thought, and we're going to find that by the end, they thought that Jesus was going to come and set up his kingdom. That's what they were thinking. And so when he died and he was in the grave, that was over. What they thought was going to happen was over. So what Jesus was talking about, it wasn't even there in their head that he could have been resurrected. They're looking for a body. Looking for a body. And they go. And so the men, verse 10, then the disciples went away again unto their home. Okay, so they left. John and Peter and John, they head back. The men return home and the group of women with them. But we're going to find that Mary stays. Mary's going to stick around. Look at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. So here's what we see. So see, we're patching it together. So when we find Peter and John were booking it back, the ladies came back with them. You see this? You see this kind of this group? They're running here and then they're running back, and then, you know, they're just, it's kind of a funny picture. But so here they are, the ladies evidently there. And so Mary, verse 11, Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Okay, Peter and John were just in there. They weren't in there then. They're in there now. Okay, they're in there now. So verse 13, and when they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. So at this is the point that the angel speaks to Mary alone. So Mary is the first person. We talked about that already. She's the first person the angels speak to. Talk about this. Here and in Luke, it is described as being two angels. In Matthew and Mark, it's described as being one angel. Man, they're confused. Some people couldn't see well. No, listen, probably due to the fact that only one of the angels spoke, right? Just like we found earlier when it says Mary came. It wasn't just Mary, it was the group with them, but the one that spoke is the one that's written about. We don't get everything written down, right? Because you know why? We don't need it all. Don't get bogged down in the things we don't got. Use what we've been given. And so she's now in the tomb. And the angels are in the place, one at the place where the head of Jesus was, and the other is that where the feet of Jesus was. And there they are inside the tomb. She was still distraught. Why is she distraught? Because Jesus died? No. Because he was crucified? No. Because he was put in the tomb? No. That's not why she's distraught. She's distraught because somebody came and took the body of the Lord. Verse 13, again. She says, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. When we get our focus on the wrong things, we can get so bogged down in what we've made important that we'll miss the fact that the Lord is right there. You know, by the way, she was going to minister to Jesus. She was going to minister to the Lord, to his body. And yet in the midst of all this, she didn't even see him. We can get so busy doing the things that, you know, and I think sometimes we can get busy in religion. We miss the Lord altogether. And we can get so bogged down in the things I think is important, the things that I want to do, and the things that I think, I had this plan. I'm like that, folks. When I have a plan, I want to see that plan. I've had to work on it. Okay, I am still working on it. That when I have a plan, I want that plan to go exactly like I planned, because I planned it to work the plan. Right? And when somebody comes in and says, hey, why don't we just do the plan a little different? I'm like, I want one of the paper bags. You know what I'm saying? Because I had a plan. By the way, I didn't tell anybody the plan. It's all up here. But I had a plan step by step. And somebody comes in the middle. I'm like, okay, I got this. And somebody comes up, hey, how about we do this instead? And you're like, no, we can't do that. My wife's laughing because I'm like this all the time. I'm the worst with my family. I'm like, this is my plan. And they're like, oh, so, well, yeah, but can we? And then she doesn't care. 30 years, I'm telling you. She doesn't care that I have a plan in my head, that I've planned it from A to Z. She's like, hey, why don't we just go to M? And I'm like, no, because there's all of this other stuff I planned. Do we need to do all that? Probably not. But it's, you see what I'm saying? And we can actually get some conflict there. Because she doesn't care, and I really care. So it's her fault. No, it's so... here's my point, folks. We can get so bogged down into something that we miss. And so, by the way, listen, I'm not... we're not demonizing Mary Magdalene here. She's trying to be there. She's distraught about the body. Now, inside the tomb, the Lord appears first to her. First. So, by the way, that means that the Lord thought something of this woman. She was not just some mediocre Christian. She was somebody that the Lord decided that's who's going to be first. But she didn't even realize it was him. Look at verse 15 now. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener. Why was she wrong? She saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Okay, this is good. So she's so distraught in sorrow that she believes Jesus is a gardener. I mean, doesn't even recognize that's Jesus. I don't know, maybe he got his hair cut when he got resurrected. Okay, that's a little bit of a joke. Some of y'all get that later. She's thinking, okay, maybe he's the gardener. Maybe even he's the one that moved the body. And she's now ready to go by herself to go grab the body. I'll take him away, she says. See how sometimes we just, you know, Brother Jonathan is talking about it in Sunday school. You know, sometimes we get our hearts set on something, right? And nobody can talk us out of it. It's like, I'm doing it until, you know, King David got himself in a world of hurt with a lot of loss because of that. So what can happen is we can get so tunnel vision that we got this thing and we get distraught about something. Listen to what I'm saying to you, folks. We get distraught about stuff that doesn't matter and we make a mess of everything in our life. And then we blame it. Well, I can't, I'm kind of frozen, I'm stuck, I can't do this because this thing I'm so worried about keeps me from doing the things I ought to do. Right? You understand what I'm saying? By the way, if it feels a little bit like it's a dagger digging into you, we're all there at different levels. We all have to deal with it. So I'm trying to help you to see a little bit here the situations that come with that. Here she's saying something that's ridiculous. Yeah, I'll take him away. What? It's 3 days now. You're gonna just, she wasn't thinking, was she gonna be able to do this? No. But in her mind was this thing. All she cared about, she was distraught and wanted it to be fixed. So, look at verse 16 now. Jesus said unto her, Mary. I don't know if it was like that. I think it was like that. Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Oh. The Lord called her out. Mary, can you kind of... I don't know how it went. I just imagine it was something. Mary, and maybe it was, you know, he's spoken like that before, and all of a sudden that tone, maybe it was Mary. Maybe it was a tone that Jesus spoke to her before, and all of a sudden she realizes that that's him. And now she's realizing who she's talking to. Okay, we find this. Look at verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Woo! You see that? I mean, here, the Lord has pretty recently resurrected in here. He hasn't even gone to the Father yet to apply the blood on the altar. And he said, you can't touch me yet. Okay, because she had a thing that she liked to go and kiss his feet and cry on, you know, and hair thing. And so... He said, don't, woman, I know what you, I don't know, I'm sorry. I have too much of a graphic imagination. But I think of something like that. He's telling her, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to the Father. But go, watch what he says to her. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Whew. So, as she returns to the disciples, okay, you stay with the picture here, folks, okay? As she's returning, so John has his piece, right? So as she's returning to the disciples, okay, what happens then? As she's returning, well, she just gets there. No, wait a minute. As she's returning to the disciples, evidently, this is when she encounters the other women, and they also want to go see Jesus. She's coming back. Do you think that woman's saying, I'm not going to go, I'm not going to tell anybody until I get there? No, there's her posse of women, right? Her friends, those that were coming together. Can you see her coming up? Say, yeah, I just want to let y'all know. Y'all want a little tea, right? Can I just tell you about something? Yeah, I seen him. No. Can you imagine her telling them, I seen him. What were they looking for? A body. She said, I didn't see the body. No. The body is still gone. But I saw Jesus. And as you might imagine, those women said, oh, that's cool. No. They want to go back. This is when the group of women meet the angels in the tomb. This is the time. Listen, now they're coming looking for no longer a body. Now they're looking for the risen Jesus. Not just that. So, but he wasn't there. Let's go back to Mark now. Flip back to Mark. Mark chapter 16, verse 6. We're going to pick it up there. Well, let's go back to 5. Let's grab that there. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But, verse 7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. So, they're also told, again, go tell the disciples and Peter. Wasn't Peter one of the disciples? But see, if we can get back into the context, remember the last time Peter saw Jesus? The third time he had denied him, right? And so I think what the Lord is saying here, no, he's still with me. You ever failed? You ever failed big? I mean big. Even as a Christian. You're following the Lord. You're going. And you fail. I mean, pretty miserably. Maybe you had a really, really great opportunity to live for the Lord, to do that thing for the Lord that the Lord wanted you to do. And you knew it was, and when the time came, you failed. So, you know what we are prone to do in our human nature? Right there, quit. I failed. Why even? What I have to do to regain all that? You know what the Lord said to them? The angels now, the messengers of the Lord, they say, hey, go tell the disciples and Peter. As they were quickly heading to the disciples to go tell this group of women. Now, I believe this is the way we're going to see that in a minute, that as Mary's seeing Jesus, she's running back, catches up with the ladies, all of them go back, and now they're all headed back to the disciples together. Matthew, we turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I told you we got to put the puzzle together. So we got to look at all four of these and We're going to finish in Acts. Matthew 28, verse 8. Matthew 28, verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Okay? And verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Now they could touch Jesus. Okay? Between this time, this isn't a lot of time. I don't know how long this journey is back and forth. They're going back and forth. And I don't think it's a long way. I think it's just, you know, a little distance there. Maybe getting through the city and, you know, some terrain and so forth. They get there. Now Jesus had went and ascended a bit. Listen, it's moments with the Lord. He comes back. Here he is. Now they're coming and worshiping him. They could touch him. It was first Mary Magdalene. Then these women all together saw Jesus. This was his instruction to all these ladies. Now the angels, the Lord gave Mary Magdalene instruction. The angels gave the ladies instruction, the rest of the women. Now Jesus is going to give them all instruction in verse 10. Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Jesus' instruction has always been to go and tell, hasn't it? Is that a little bit convicting to us? It's always go and tell. He said, go and tell, go and tell, go and tell. You two go together. You go and tell. You go and tell. And he's first things he says, go and tell. The angels, go and tell. The women, go and tell. Go and tell, and they're going to see me. By the way, starting Saturday, we're going to go and tell. Okay? You say you give an announcement in the middle of the message? Yes. Be here Saturday, 10 o'clock. We're going to go out and distribute these all over our city, all over the area. We're going to have some maps. We're going to be ready. Come Saturday, 10 o'clock. We're going to do what Jesus said. So we find the women. Now we're going to find the women arriving back to the disciples. And we already seen there in John that talk about that Mary Magdalene was there to tell the disciples. Now we're going to really see the whole picture, all the ladies there. Turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. It's good for you to see it, folks. You ought to turn there. It's good for you to look at this and see it. And when you get it in your eyes and in your ears, you can activate it in your heart. Luke chapter 24, verse 9. He says this. He said, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, we're going to find something a little different here. Peter now returns to the sepulcher by himself. And now he departs, wondering about all these things. Listen, the first time he went, he was looking for a body. He was looking for the end of what he was doing. The end of his master. Looking for that. And he was distraught. Maybe that somebody had taken that. And what's going on with that? And a little bit maybe aggressive now. I want to do that. But now he hears that they've seen Jesus. And everybody said, no, these are idle tales. But can I tell you, I think what we're going to see is Peter wanted that to be so. You ever hoped against hope? You're just thinking, I don't think that could even be true. I'm going to check it out. And so he ran back and he gets there. So listen. So we have the women going to the tomb. And they think it's the body stolen. They run back, tell Peter and John, who race to the tomb, the women following. Mary stays and she sees Jesus, tells the women, they go back looking for Jesus, but return to tell the disciples about the angel's message and meet Jesus on the way, okay? Peter returns by himself to see the risen Jesus, but he's not there, so he goes home. Now, we don't have all the details, folks, but we know that the Lord appeared to Peter later that day. Look at verse 33. And we're still in Luke chapter 24, verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." So we find here at some time the Lord had appeared to Peter later in that day. Whew, what a day. What a day. Running back and forth, we see and we don't. I mean, the end of everything happened. Jesus died, he's in the grave, 3 days, he's gone, we don't see, it's over. Hope is lost. They're not even thinking about all the other things that God has already told them. Now all of a sudden, all this stuff is going on. The body's gone, some people see Jesus. I mean, listen, but what a day. But it wasn't over, was it? After that, Peter was there. After that, we find this account of two disciples on their way to Emmaus, which is about a 6.5-mile journey. And so they must have stayed over in Jerusalem. I think many did on the Sabbath, and now they were headed back home, having heard about what happened at the tomb. Probably they were with, I imagine they were probably with that group of disciples that said, the 11 and those with them, the other disciples with them, heard about these things, and now here they are headed home. Look, we're still in Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with him. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." Okay, this word holden, it really kind of gives this idea that the Lord caused them to not see who he was. Okay? In a sense, almost that he restricted that. And we're going to find out that the Lord did this for a specific purpose. Look at verse 17 now. And he said unto them, "What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk are sad?" And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, saying unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" Because Jesus didn't know. Right? If the Lord asks a question, in the Scriptures, he's always trying to get something out of us. By the way, that's the way the Lord does with our heart too. He wants us to really bring it out ourselves. "And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people." See, there was still something missing, right? They just, even though he told them all the way through, there's still something missing. You know, it's so frustrating when we could sit here and listen week after week and still miss it. But if we do that, I guess we're in pretty decent company. Because they walked with him, still didn't get it. So, verse 20, "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." Just, they're still looking. Can I say this? They're still looking for power on earth. They just constantly, you know what they, folks, listen to what I'm going to say to you here. I'm going to chase this rabbit just for a moment. I'm going to kill it and we'll get back to it, okay? Here's the problem. We can get so focused on making this life something wonderful. that we miss really what God's trying to do. And that's what they did. Those that literally walked face to face, John said, we touched him. We saw him. We watched him. We laid our eyes upon him. You see? And all they were thinking about is, man, we're going to come back into power. It's going to be awesome. Israel is going to reign again. Man, that's what, over this thing? Over this planet? Ah, they're so, folks, we can get that same way. We can get that same way. So here they are. They said, and how they did that, verse 21. Again, I read that. So let me read it, 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Okay, you see the picture? You see the puzzle kind of coming together completely here? So the disciples that were gathered together when the women came, these disciples were with Peter and John when they returned. We could see that the disciples were still perplexed about what was going on. They still didn't get it. They didn't even understand the resurrection. They didn't even understand that Jesus was the Son of God and God the Son. So, Jesus had to straighten it out. You ever been like that in work or something with your kids? You're like, hey, go tell them this. And they come back and they say, I told them that, but they don't get it. Well, go tell them that. Go tell them. And finally, like, oh. Right? You know, I got to go tell them. I got to do it myself. Right? It's kind of how Jesus lived his whole ministry. Verse 25. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Okay, Jesus doesn't play. Right? He just gets right to it. It's just what he does. Doesn't mean he's not mean. I mean, I don't know, maybe calling people fools is a little bit. But he's very getting to the heart of what's going on. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. Now see, it's kind of getting nighttime now. It's 5-6.5 miles. And the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So, the Lord had to again now teach what he had already taught to help this people to understand the resurrection. They've been listening, and not get it. Folks, I'm just telling you've done this with people. You've told them something, and they look at you like a deer in the headlights. And you tell them again, it's like it's just not getting through. You ever done that with somebody, and then you try to find a new way to tell them? And a new way, and like none of them work? It's kind of Jesus with the disciples. Can I say this to you folks? Let's don't be like that. You know what we have to do, though? We have to activate our receiver. We have to activate our receiver. It's got in what I mean like this. We got to be ready and willing and desirous to get something from God. Because if we're here just showing up, it comes up empty. So these two disciples had their eyes open to see Jesus, verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? While he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Okay, listen. You want to know what excitement about the Lord Jesus Christ looks like? It's a 6.5 mile journey to then turn around in the evening and come back to the congregation to tell them what you experienced. Now wait, no wait. They just went 6.5 miles. It's evening. It's nigh into evening. They get there. I thought it. I thought it was the. I mean, it's kind of weird. I thought. Now we know. All of a sudden, it's like it's there. We know. Let's go tell them. And they book back. I think they probably walked a little bit. They're kind of walking a little sad. They were sad. Gee, why are you sad? They're sad. Now they're excited. They head back in the evening. I'm just saying. They want to get back to the congregation and tell them what they experienced. They get there and share their testimony while others shared theirs. Verse 33 again. So they returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, so this is those others saying, the Lord is risen. Indeed. Indeed He is. And hath appeared to Simon. And they, we're talking about those two disciples, told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. Could you imagine them telling their story? We're going, we came up. He said, what's going on? He was playing us, right? He's going, what's going on? They said, why are you sad? Well, I'd say, why are you not from around here? Can you imagine the whole story, telling that story? Going on, and they're telling about it. They get there, they're sitting with the disciples. They're there to share. They get to share the testimony with others. What a time. What a time it is sharing about what God has done in your life. That's, folks, can I tell you, that's a big part of the purpose of assembling together. If it's not, let's just all watch it on TV. No, seriously. If it's not about getting together and sharing our experiences. By the way, you say, I don't have a lot of experience, so God's not really doing a lot in my life. Well, why don't you find out what God's doing in someone else's life? You know what you might have to do? You might have to not hit the door quickly. You might have to hear about what God's doing. So maybe it's something in your life that you want. Now, when I say you want to share something about what God's doing in your life, not what you're doing for God. I mean, it's okay to do some of that. But a lot of times what we want to talk about is what I'm doing. Let's talk about what God's doing in my life. I'm telling you, it's exciting. It's an exciting thing. And they get back. They're there sharing it. It's getting late, right? It's getting late. I don't think they cared. I don't find that. But that's part of the purpose. But can I just say this, though, right here? You never know what you will miss when you miss a time to assemble with the saints. You never know what you're going to miss when you miss. Verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Hey, listen, they got that, yeah, He's indeed risen. It's still a little creepy. It's still a little scary. We've been knowing about this for about, some 2,000 plus years. This is all coming at them, right? And they're frightened that's going on. And Jesus comes in, and verse 38, and He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, have you here any meat? The phrase here is that they believed not for joy. It was too good to be true. It's too good to be true. The thing is, it was true. You ever just like, no, I couldn't be that well. God couldn't have blessed me that well. You ever kind of get like that? God couldn't really bless me that well. And He has. You're like, man, you almost like don't want to believe it, because if it is, you're going to be disappointed. No, He said they believe not for joy. And here's the thing. And Jesus, He got any meat in verse 42. And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Oh, what we missed when we missed what we're supposed to receive. Let's say that again. For those in the back. In the middle or the front. Oh, what we miss when we miss what we are supposed to receive. Go over to John. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. In verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the midst in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You say, was it really said like that? I don't know how you say that. I just didn't. Well, unless I see. I don't know how you say it any other way. It just seems very, I will not unless I do this. You know, it's hard for us to have a developed faith when we miss what the Lord intended for us to receive. See, God wants to take us through as a body some information, some truth. And that's what God wants us to receive. So it's hard for us to have a developed faith when we miss what God intended for us to receive. And so we end up having a patchwork Christianity full of holes. Like, no, I'm fine. No, you're fine. Like, we can be fine like this. Sometimes we think we're fine, and yet we are not. You know what we say? We might say like King David, or this. If you're in Sunday school, just for example, the lady that had the squirrel, she said, "It's going to be different for me. I'm going to be okay." Till her face gets ripped off. Like, did that happen? Ask Brother Jonathan after about that. So sometimes, though, one can sit right here in the midst of the congregation and miss it as well. Eyes get heavy. Heart gets cold. Disconnected. Thinking about lunch. Right? Or your stomach starts talking to your backbone. Right? Reminding you about lunch. You say, why did you have to do that, Pastor? Now there we are. Okay. We find Thomas, exhibiting this aggressive disbelief. And then verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. Oh, after 8 days. So it's Sunday. And it's the next Sunday. Right? So, you know what they did? Like every week. It's kind of their thing. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, Peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, oh man, this is when you hate. Don't you hate this? You know what? A lot of people don't come back to church because they're afraid of this right here. So Thomas would have got all mouthy, right? Lest I do this and that, the other thing, I will not believe. So Jesus walks in, looks over. Thomas, what do you say in verse 27? Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. Huh. Right? Here it is. Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Man, I would hate that. Come on, you said you wanted to thrust your hand. I don't know the meaning. I didn't really get the whole meaning of that, but I'm telling you, it's what Thomas said. God's now saying, this is what you said. Come on. Come on, big boy. You want to do it? Here it is. And quit being an unbeliever. By the way, he wasn't saying Thomas had rejected Christ or rejected God. He was just not following him now. He was saying, I'm just not going to believe all these things. He said, "The Lord, you know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to make us feel guilty. No, you know what he wants to do? Just get on board. Follow me," is what he's saying. He gets into this and, oh man, Thomas, what a mess. What a mess. Verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Let me say this about Thomas. Doubting Thomas. I mean, that's his name now. But can I say this about, I want to say this about, for in his favor. He came back the next week. He came back the next week. Folks, don't let anything get to your life, dig into you that says, I'm done. No, he can't. You know, it's hard. Sometimes faith is hard. Came back the next week and he didn't make a habit of forsaking the assembly. He just missed a really big one. Well, Pastor, which one is the really big service not to miss? The next one. Don't miss the next one. I want to tell you, tonight I'm going to preach a message, the most important part tonight. Really want you to be here tonight. I'm preaching a message about what's the most important part to God. We're in the book of Nehemiah. I want you to hear this. It's going to be a message. It's going to be about that. You know what's the most important service for you to be at? The one tonight. I mean, you're already here. So the next one. But here's what he said. The Lord calls you and I blessed. Blessed are they which have not seen and believe. Blessed are they believe and have not seen. We haven't gotten to touch the nail prints. We haven't got to thrust our hand into his side. But we do have many, many more testimonies of faith than they did at that time either. Much more was done and that wasn't written for. I mean, Jesus did much more than that wasn't written down. You understand that, right? All those things that he did that wasn't written down, that was for them. But what is here written, it's for us. Look at verse 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Listen, past this, we have a record of Jesus appearing to the seven disciples at the Sea of Tiberias here in John. I'm not going to go into all these things in the Scriptures, but to the disciples and 500 brethren and Paul's recount in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. He was also seen of James, Paul tells us, and then to the apostles once again during a period of 40 years. Turn right over there a couple pages to Acts chapter 1. We're going to finish up here in Acts. Verse 3. "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So we said there, 40 days. Seeing there all this time. Today happens to be 41 days since Easter. So the period of time that it's been since, y'all remember how back far Easter was? Seems like it was forever ago. That's how long Jesus walked with them after he rose from the dead. Many infallible proofs. But they still were not completely getting it. Verse 6. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" Do you ever just want to backhand it? You know what I mean? It's like, back at it. And verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Look, folks, it's not for us to know when's the end. It's not for us to know when it's going to be complete, because you know what right now is? Right now is the time for us to work. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So he just said back there, it's the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. This is not a work of understanding of man. It's the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that indwells the believer. He it is that empowers us to continue to be a witness, to even be a witness at all. A testimony. For what purpose? What does he empower us to be a testimony for? So that others might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, that's it. That's it. That's the whole thing. So he's been trying to tell them all along that you'll understand that I am the Christ. And that believing you might have eternal life through his name. When he finished those words, he was taken up in a cloud. It's just, I mean, I don't know. Superman deal. I don't know, you know, was it a hovering float? I don't know, but here he is. He's going up to the point that they could watch him. Look at verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I don't know if it was the same two angels that were in the tomb. I think it might have been the same two that announced his resurrection. Maybe it was the same who are now announcing his return. In a sense, to say, I told you before, you found out I was right. I'm telling you again, just as sure to them, just as sure as you've watched him these 40 days resurrected from the dead, he is coming back. So here's the conclusion. Number one, he's worthy to be proclaimed, folks. He's worthy to be proclaimed. He's worth it. Second thing, he is coming back. Just like he came up from the grave, he's coming back again. If we can believe that, and we're here this morning, if we can believe that, we can believe he's coming back again. So, and then just the last thing is this. Do you have a story about Jesus in your life that you'll share with someone else? I'm not even talking about your testimony of salvation. Maybe it's that. Maybe there's just something else you want to talk about, how God is living in your life and you're living in his. Do you have a story that you'll tell someone else? By the way, it's not your power. You know, I'm just not good at it. This is the thing about this, folks. This isn't about smart people, outgoing people, academics. You know, now you're just really good because you study a lot. Can I tell you, I was telling people more about Jesus Christ when I knew nothing, probably than I do now. It doesn't take skill, knowledge. You know what it takes? Spirit of God. He gives you that power. It's not your power. It's the same power that gave you eternal life. It's through his name. Jesus constantly said this, go and tell. Let's all rise. Father, thank you for this time, Lord, that in your word that we've spent these last months seeing all of these things, some very gruesome things, that how they treated our Lord and Savior. And yet also this wonderful, wonderful time of His resurrection, really proving to so many that everything that was said was absolutely true. Lord, we do struggle with our faith, Lord. We struggle with, Lord, just getting through this life. It's full of trials and temptations and anxiety and stress and the unknown and finances, Lord, all these things that burden our life. And yet, Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us to have joy against doubt. Lord, that we could put our trust in you because we know that you're faithful and what you said you will do, you will absolutely do. Lord, help us. Help us, I pray, Lord, to get our eyes off the power of our own flesh. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Help me not to just trust what I can do and limit myself by what I'm afraid of. And Lord, that we would trust you. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts this morning, and we'll thank you for it now. And